Good morning, church. Oh, so good to see everybody here this morning. Those of you joining us online, welcome. It's wonderful to have you with us as well. Church, I gotta brag a little bit. I just got such a boost to my confidence this morning. I was sitting up here with my daughter, Karis, my oldest. She looks at me, she says, "Dad, I'm hungry." I said, "Sweetie, we will get lunch after church, I promise." And she said, "But there's no children's church." I said, "No, there's no children's church." She goes, "It's going to be so boring." I'm on cloud nine right now, y'all. Well, go ahead and open in your Bible. We're going to be flipping around a little bit this morning, but go ahead and open your Bible. We're going to be starting in 1 John chapter 1. So we are in our last week of our forgiveness series, The Struggle. And the struggle has been real, because I have seen the looks on some of your faces, and more to the point, I've happened to have noticed that a lot of you have been conspicuously absent the past few weeks. And I can only assume it's because the Lord was just working on you so hard, because you have just not been doing this very well, and you were feeling super convicted about it. Well, good news. This is the last week, so everybody take that collective sigh of relief. Like, okay, all right, we're done with the forgiveness stuff, the really tough stuff. Now we can just get through this last message, and then next week we'll dive into the secret of contentment, because everybody wants to be content, right? Disclaimer, that one's going to be tough too. Just throwing it out there. But yes, so we've seen, as we've gone through this series, you know, we have looked at, you know, how are we supposed to forgive? And why are we supposed to forgive? And to what degree, to what depth are we supposed to forgive? And we've looked at all of this, and we kind of come to the conclusion this week. And today we're going to be talking about the tragedy of unforgiveness. What happens when, for whatever reason, we just don't forgive? Rather than releasing the individual, rather than releasing the anger, the bitterness, the grudge, whatever the case may be, rather than releasing it and giving it over to the Lord, what happens when we hold on to it? When we decide to allow it to fester and to remain in our heart? What happens when we choose to disobey the call of the Lord and choose not to forgive? Because we saw, I think it was last week, we saw, you know, we've been forgiven much. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been forgiven much. And to be forgiven much means that you should in turn, what? Love. Love much. To be forgiven much means to love much. That was the principle that Jesus spoke. That was the principle that he gave in that little parable that he gave at that dinner that he shared with the Pharisee. To be forgiven much is to then love much. And if we are believers, we've been forgiven much, so then we should in turn love much. Specifically, we should love the Lord, right? And Jesus has made it very clear. If we are to love him and we're to show that we love him, we do that through keeping his commands. And a big part of keeping his command is forgiveness. But tragically, it's something that many of us struggle with. But not only that, not only do many of us struggle with forgiveness, many of us just kind of accept that it's a really difficult thing to do and it just can't be done. Rather than calling upon the Lord and seeking his power, seeking his help, his assistance, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit, rather than seeking him and asking him to empower us to be able to release and to forgive, we just kind of hold on to it and just say to ourselves and we say to those around us, you know, I want to, just can't. And we look for consolation from one another. Just get that pat on the back. You know, I get it. Totally understand. If I was in your position, I probably couldn't do it either. It's okay. And the truth is, it's not okay. We can tell ourselves that it is, and we can look for affirmation from others telling us that it's okay that you can't forgive. But the truth is, it's not. It's actually a really tragic consequence of sin. And we see exactly how far that goes and what comes with that unforgiveness this morning. But as we're kind of getting into that, I want to first start in 1 John because I want us to see what is our universal need. I mean, whether you're a believer in Christ, whether you're an unbeliever in Christ, there is a common universal need that all of us have, and it actually is forgiveness. So look at 1 John 1:9 with me. It's a very popular, very well-known passage of Scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The one thing that we all have in common, we all need forgiveness. Every single person is born into sin. Every single person is born into rebellion against God. And as a result, every single person is in desperate, dire need of his forgiveness, of his redemption. That is what we all need. But when we're talking about forgiveness, when we're talking about specifically forgiveness between God and man, the word forgiveness encompasses a lot of things. And specifically, you know, there is God's judicial forgiveness, which is God's forgiveness for all sin for us. We put our faith and trust in Jesus, and God judiciously as our judge, he forgives us for our sin. He cleanses us from unrighteousness. He bestows upon us the very righteousness of Christ, and we are made into a new creation, a new creature by the work of Jesus. That is God's judicial forgiveness. So once and for all, there is no changing this. Once you have been judiciously forgiven by the Lord, you've been forgiven for all your sin, once and for all, by the work and power of Jesus. There is no changing this. It is done. It is final. No person, no thing, no word, nothing can ever change this. But then there is his daily forgiveness. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we see here in this passage in 1 John. We're not talking about confessing our sins for salvation. We're talking about because we already have salvation, we confess our sins to the Lord because we want to maintain that relationship and that fellowship and that connection with the Lord. See, now we go from forgiveness as judge to forgiveness as our Father. And that's what we're looking at here in this verse. Because even believers, we fall, right? We fall into sin. It happens. There's not a single person who follows Christ that has never actually sinned after following Christ. It does happen. We know that it happens. God knew that it was going to happen, which is why he gives us this truth. If you are a believer in Christ and you fall into sin, there are consequences to it. There are penalties that go along with falling into sin as a believer. Chief among those penalties is we lose our fellowship with God. To fall into sin is to lose fellowship with God. If you are a believer in Jesus and you fall into sin, it doesn't matter what the sin is. If you fall into sin as a believer, you will immediately lose fellowship with the Lord. And when that happens, there is a remedy, and this is the remedy. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, what is he willing to do? What does he do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This word confess, you know, the word confess in the New Testament, it literally means to agree with. So when we go to the Lord in confession, it's not just a matter of going to the Lord and saying, you know what, God, I did this. It's not admission. Confession is to agree with, to actually go before the Lord and say, God, not only did I do this, but I agree with you, and I know, and I understand just how bad, how wrong, how deceitful, how depraved it actually is. I understand what I have done. And I agree with you that what I have done is egregious. I agree that I am in the wrong and I am putting myself upon your mercy. Lord, please redeem me, forgive me, wash me of this sin, bring me back into connection, back into fellowship with you. That's what we're doing when we confess our sin. We are coming to the Lord and agreeing that what we have done is wrong, and we are asking him to bring us back into fellowship with himself. And that's something that we have to do. That's something that we all need. The way that this is written, this is a continuous thing. This is not just a, you should do this once every few weeks, or you should do this once every year. This is a continuous, day after day, minute by minute, if necessary. Every single time we fall into sin, we're supposed to then immediately go before the Lord, confess our sin to him, ask him to renew and to restore fellowship with himself. Because until we do that, until we come to him and confess, until we come to him in repentance of what we have done, our fellowship with him is blocked. That is any sin. But it includes the sin of unforgiveness. The way that this is written, I mean, it brings to mind for me the Last Supper when Jesus is with his disciples and they're gathered around. And John records this in his gospel in chapter 13. Jesus goes around and he fills a basin with water and begins to wash the disciples' feet. And as he's washing the disciples' feet, Peter is kind of offended by this. He's like, oh, I can't allow this. I can't let Jesus, I can't let my Lord wash my feet. And so he tells Jesus, Lord, no, please don't. I can't let you do this. And what did Jesus say? The one who I do not wash has no part with me. And then Peter kind of goes to like the other extreme. He's like, well, then if that's the case, then don't just do my feet. I mean, do everything. Like, come on, let's do it all. I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'm with you 100%. Nothing is changing that. I am with you, Jesus. And then Jesus replied to him and he said, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. In doing this, this is more than just an act of humility. This is more than an example of humility on the part of Jesus. I think this is also an illustration. This is also a picture of what it means to be cleansed, to be daily cleansed and daily forgiven by the Lord. Because once we come into relationship with him, we receive that judicial forgiveness, that once for all forgiveness from God. We're clean. We are declared righteous at that very moment, and nothing will ever change that. We are clean. But going through the everyday practices of life, we do encounter sin. We fall into sin, and our feet get dirty. We're still clean, but our feet have dirt upon them, and so we have to have them cleaned. We have to have them washed. And that's, I think, the principle that we see here in 1 John of that daily, consistent being washed and being renewed by the Lord each and every day, because truthfully, we do fall short each and every day. And when that happens, we have to be consistently going back before the Father to be washed, to be cleansed, and be brought back into fellowship with him. Otherwise, we will have that barrier put in between us. We won't have that fellowship with him. And as time goes on, we actually grow further and further and further away from God. But while God is eager to forgive, God as judge is eager to forgive, and even more so as Father, he is eager to forgive. He is always ready. He is always willing to offer forgiveness to anyone who wants it, anyone who desires it, anyone who seeks it. He is ready to give it. But there is a condition. There is a condition to God's forgiveness. So flip over with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to flip over to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So this is the condition. This is a statement that is made by Jesus following what we know as the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus has actually just been teaching the disciples, this is how you should pray. And he leads them in a prayer. And a part of the Lord's Prayer is, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then immediately following Jesus' teaching on prayer, he follows it up with just this one statement. He gives an actual further commentary on what he's saying when he talks about forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. And this is the only one that he expounds upon. Out of everything that he talks about, out of all the petitions that he tells us to make in the Lord's Prayer, this is the only petition that he gives any extra information on. And he gives it in two ways. He gives it as a positive, and he gives it as a negative. So verse 14, we have the positive. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Very clear, very straightforward. That's okay. So we forgive those who sin against us. You know what? We receive the forgiveness of God. Whenever we fall into sin, God will pick us up. He'll wash us. He'll clean us. He'll restore us into fellowship with himself. That's good. I'm okay with that. I like that. That's the positive. But then Jesus gives the negative. He says, "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I want to make sure that we're clear, because there has been some misinterpretation about this verse. This does not mean that if you are a believer in Christ, you have received the salvation from the Lord, you have the indwelt, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This does not mean that if you don't forgive somebody, then God is going to retract his judicial forgiveness from you. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you lose salvation. It means that you lose fellowship. It means that you lose connection. You lose blessing. You lose your connection and your access to the Father. That's what he is saying here. "If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Honestly, this is not something that is new for most believers. If you're a believer in Christ, you've probably come across this before. You've probably heard this before. You've probably read this before. But we like to pretend that it's not there. We do. We love to pretend that this is not there. We love to pretend that Jesus never said this. Or if he said this, then surely it means something other than what it sounds like it means. Surely God is not going to withhold forgiveness from me just because I withhold forgiveness from somebody else. Surely God would not do that. Yeah, he would. Why? Because we don't get to live in sin and disobedience and still receive the blessings of God. That's not how it works. And we're fooling ourselves and we're kidding ourselves if we think that it is. Church, we can't continue to tell ourselves that we can live in any way that we like, that we can do anything that we want. As long as I make sure that I make it to church on time, or as long as I, you know, write that check and put it in the offering plate, or as long as I make it known that, like, I'm a Christian, like, I love Jesus, as long as I make that known, then I can do whatever I want, and God's okay with it. He'll just forgive me. No, that's not how it works. We don't get to abuse the grace of God in that manner. And shame on us for thinking that we can. Shame on us for thinking that we can harbor unforgiveness in our heart towards anyone, a believer, an unbeliever, a friend, a neighbor, an acquaintance, a stranger. Shame on us for thinking we can harbor unforgiveness in our heart and think that there are absolutely no ramifications with God. He has made it clear his forgiveness, his daily forgiveness to us, is actually conditional upon our forgiveness of others. So what does that look like? Like, what practically, what are we talking about here? What are we seeing here when we talk about this, when we hear this? Flip over to Matthew 18. And I'm actually going back to a passage that we looked at a few weeks ago when we were going through the depth of forgiveness. Go down to verse 34. It says, "And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So just to quickly recount this, if you weren't here a few weeks ago, Jesus is giving this parable about the master of a kingdom and this servant who comes up to him. The servant owes him an obscene amount of money. Like, it's incalculable how much this person owes, how much this person is indebted. And he throws himself upon the mercy of the king, and the king forgives him the debt. The king says, "You are forgiven of this great debt." And then immediately upon being forgiven this great debt, this servant goes out and he comes across a man who owes him a pittance of what he himself had owed, what he himself had just been forgiven. And rather than having mercy upon this individual as the king had mercy upon him, he has this person put in jail until he pays the debt. Now, this information gets back to the king. When the king hears that his servant responded in this way, after having been forgiven so great a debt himself, that he would respond by putting this other person in jail for a very small debt that was owed to him, the king is angry. And verse 34 is where we get the reaction of the king. "And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts." Now, if you'll remember, in this parable that Jesus is giving, the king represents God. In the mercy of the king, in the forgiveness of the king, the love of the king, the grace of the king, all of that represents God. But so too does verse 34. This servant who was forgiven so great a debt by the king withholds forgiveness from somebody else. And what is the response of the king? When we withhold forgiveness from anybody, what is the response of God to us? It's anger. God is angry. He's not just shaking his head. He's not just sighing and saying, "Oh, here they go again." He doesn't think that it's cute. He doesn't come up to us and pat us on the back and say, "Yeah, I know you're struggling with this. I know you're having a tough time. It's going to be okay." That's not how he responds. When we refuse to forgive, we fall into this tragedy of unforgiveness. You know what we're doing? We are calling upon us the anger of God. Because it offends him. It's an affront to him. How dare we, who have received the great love, the great mercy, the great blessing of God, how dare we think that we can withhold even a portion of that from somebody else? We have no right. It's not our position. But we have been given by God. We are meant to give to others. He has poured out his forgiveness upon us. He has poured out his love upon us. We don't get to withhold it from anybody else. And when we do, he is angered. And in his anger, what does he do? He delivered the man to the jailers. Depending on your translation may say torturers. So what does this mean? It means that if we are going to withhold forgiveness, then you know what God's going to do? He is going to pour out his anger and his discipline upon us until we finally come to a realization that what we have done has angered God and we must repent of it. So what does this mean? Like what does this practically look like? Oh, it can look a lot of different ways, but for starters, think about this. Think about how good, how gracious, how merciful, how loving, how accessible God is. If you want to talk to God, just do it. You want to hear from God? Open up his word. Just listen. God is accessible. He has made himself completely and totally accessible to his children. But if we do this, if we withhold forgiveness, we can't find it in ourselves to release. We can't find it in the power of the Holy Spirit in us to release. Then we're cut off. We're actually cut off from God. It's no different than going to a home and pounding on the front door and just pounding and pounding and pounding and nobody answers. Offering up prayers to the Lord, but they really do. They just hit the ceiling and come right back down. Because he's cut us off. Why? Because we angered him. Because we fell into sin and we did not repent. When you fall into sin, especially the sin of unforgiveness, you fall into unforgiveness, guess what? God's not going to forgive you. His forgiveness, his daily forgiveness to us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. And if we don't understand that, if we don't believe that, we don't accept that, then we will find ourselves in a position where we don't hear from him. We want to hear his voice and we can't hear it. We want him to hear us cry out to him, and he's not listening. The truth is, when it comes to unforgiveness, we approach it with a certain mindset. We approach it with this mindset of, I'm going to withhold forgiveness. I'm going to hold on to this anger. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness. I'm going to hang on to this grudge, this spite for this other person, because they deserve it. What they have done, what they have said, they don't deserve my forgiveness. So I'm going to withhold any forgiveness from them. I'm holding on to it because they don't deserve it. They shouldn't have it, especially if it's someone who's unrepentant about what they've done or somebody who is completely ignorant of what they've done. That just makes it even worse. That makes us even angrier. So, of course, we're much less likely to forgive them in that situation because how dare they? And we think that what we're doing is justified because in our flesh it feels right. It feels good. It feels like something that I should be doing because they're owed this. They're owed my anger. They're owed my ire. They're owed my wrath. How dare they do that to me? And the only thing that we're doing is we're hurting ourselves. We're not hurting anybody else. We're not getting back at anybody. You can't get back at somebody by withholding forgiveness. The only thing that you can do is completely destroy your own relationship with God. I love documentaries and things like that. And several years ago, I was watching a Discovery Channel thing on rattlesnakes. Those things are cool, man. So rattlesnakes, sometimes when they get cornered, they get into a position where they feel very threatened. They'll get angry, right? They'll start shaking that rattle, like trying to threaten off or ward off whatever is coming towards them. And in some situations, they'll get angry enough that they actually bite themselves in their anger. Church, that is what we do. That is exactly what we are doing to ourselves when we withhold forgiveness. Only thing we're doing is we are biting ourselves. We are causing ourselves harm. And that's a tragedy. We have so many examples in Scripture, so many great examples of forgiveness, of what it looks like, of how it's meant to be done. Joseph forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery, telling their father that he died. He forgave his brothers for all of that and then helped them in their hour of need. Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, he was murdered in the street for nothing more than proclaiming the truth of the gospel. He was taken by an angry mob, thrown out into the street, and then stoned to death. And as he's being stoned, he's being pelted with rocks. He calls out to the Lord and says, "Father, forgive them." Jesus did the same thing on the cross. Jesus is hanging upon the cross. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. He has been nailed to a piece of wood. And what does he say? "Father, forgive them." Church, we're not told these stories. We're not given these examples of forgiveness to make us feel bad or to show us, like, this is the pinnacle of forgiveness. Like, this is the cream of the crop. This is the top of the top. This is the holy of holy right here. You'll never get that high, but, you know, try. That's not what it's for. It's to show us and to make it very clear. Forgiveness is always possible in the Lord. Always. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter what. Forgiveness is always possible in the Lord. As followers of Christ, we have that power in the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Forgiveness is possible. We just have to get past our pride and allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. So I want us to think for just a moment here, church. Have you received that great judicial forgiveness of God? Have you been forgiven once for all? It's done. There's nothing that can ever change your righteous standing before the Lord. Has that occurred? Has that happened? If not, then this is a great morning to take care of that. This is a great morning to come to the Lord and confess and receive that forgiveness, that love, that salvation that he is offering. But church, if you are here and you are saved, my question for you today is very simple. Are you still receiving that daily forgiveness? That forgiveness of our Father each and every day? Or is he withholding it for some reason? See, unforgiveness can just kind of creep up on us. Something happens, a cross word is said, an action that offends, and rather than releasing it right then and there, we hold on to it. And over time, we even tell ourselves and try to convince ourselves, like, I'm over it. I forgave. Because, you know, it's not a big deal anymore. But then the truth is, we didn't really forgive because, truthfully, if we think about it, I'm still upset. I'm still angry. I'm still bitter. I'm just not as angry as I was because I don't think about it as much. That's still unforgiveness. Holding on to unforgiveness for years until we get to a point where we convince ourselves that it's just not there anymore, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is intentionally giving it over to the Lord, releasing whatever animosity, whatever anger you have towards the person, the situation, whatever the case may be. We release it to Him because He's the judge, not us. So, I don't know where all of you are this morning. Maybe you're sitting here and you've been holding on to that anger, you've been holding on to that bitterness, you've been holding on to that feeling that this person owes you something. Don't continue to hold on to that. Don't allow your pride to keep you any longer from that true fellowship, that true connection that we're meant to have with Him. Because as long as you're holding on to it, your relationship with the Father will never be right. It will always be hindered. There will always be something between you and God as long as you hold on to that unforgiveness. So today, church, release it. Let it go. Give it over to Him. Allow Him to renew. Allow Him to restore. So however the Lord is moving, however He is working in you this morning, I encourage you to respond. Respond where you are. Pray by yourself. Pray with somebody who is sitting with you. Come to the altar and pray. I would love to pray with you. Pastor Jonathan would love to pray with you. But don't continue to hold on to that unforgiveness. Let it go. Release it. Be restored and renewed in your relationship with the Father. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your forgiveness, for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercy. Father, thank You for Your strength, the strength that You give us, the strength that You empower us with in the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there is anybody here this morning who has not received Your ultimate judicial forgiveness, then God, I pray that You would show them their need this morning. For anyone who has that barrier, has something between them and You, unforgiveness, unrepented sin, Lord, would today be the day that they lay that down before You? Would You renew, would You restore all relationships with You today? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Won't you stand, church?